Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Now that you've said that I've done that one before, I'm going to check that I'm double check that I haven't. It's not in the show notes for the last show, definitely.
In that case, save it up and the dear listeners will enjoy it when it comes. Hello, everyone.
Hello. I put an item in the show later on, which we'll come to, and Aidan swears blind we did it on the last show, but I can't find it anywhere. So if it's, I'll do it quickly just in case. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Whatever Works. Me and Aidan are here once again on this sunny North Wales day, and I'm guessing sunny Hertfordshire day too.
Indeed, yes. Yes, indeed.
It's show 240, and it is Monday the 27th of April. And things are going quite well at the moment, so I thought we would shift the thing back from monthly to kind of three weekly and see how we get on with that again. So far, it's quite good. We've got quite a lot of content. Whateverworks.works is our website.
You know what? This show moves back and forth faster than a steam engine's piston, doesn't it? I mean, 3 weeks, indeed. 2 weeks, 1 week, a month, half a month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
up and down like a horse draws. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and all that I do. I thought at the top of the show I'd put a big reminder into people about my Amazon affiliate link, because we can no longer do I wonder who bought it. So if you're going to shop on Amazon, please use my affiliate link. All you've got to do is go to tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK and then just shop as normal. And as is obvious, I don't see what anyone's bought. I used to be able to see what had been bought by someone, but now they've stopped that, so I can't. But anyway, you can still use my link, and I'll be very, very grateful if you do, you lovely people. And I think that works internationally as well. So even if you're listening in America or even Uzbekistan, it should still work.
Have you finished?
Is that a country? I think Uzbekistan is a country, isn't it?
It is indeed, sir, yes. Oh dear.
Right, okay, your turn.
My turn. Yeah, I'm fuming. I just before we came on air, I got the email three more times. What is the email? You know that email that a lot of people get, this email saying, "Oh, you naughty boy, I've seen what you're doing at your computer, and if you don't pay me £7 zillion in Bitcoin, I'm going to send it to all your friends." You know, we've all had that email, I think, once. I am at the moment getting it literally 10 or 15 or 20 times a day. I spend my waking hours deleting this. And the thing is, it's one of those emails that purports to have come from my email address. So I'm very hesitant to block it because I don't know whether that's internally. Maybe somebody can let me know. Chris Kelly. Excuse me, I've got a cough. If I block this email and it purports to come from my own email address, am I therefore going to cause problems blocking my own email address? Anyway, I just had it three more times before we started recording, so I'm fuming a bit. That's
right. I've never seen it. I do remember Kev Wright was talking about getting that on one of his shows, I know Google has got its haters and people that won't agree with this, but I do think that the Gmail, which I use all the time, all my email addresses go through Gmail, I do think that the filters they use are really good. I very rarely see any of this stupid nonsense, because they stop it before it gets to me, and very rarely does something go through the filter inappropriately. I do keep an eye on it now and again.
My concern with filters, I mean, I think I've said on the show before, my email is looked after by my sister's partner who has a server at home and takes care of my email. And we have conversations about spam filtering because, you know, the problem is if a filter is too strong, then you'll never know the emails that you should have received and didn't because Google decided it was spam and never sent it to you. You know, the email offering you the credible job that you never received.
But you can go into the spam box and check on it.
Yes.
It auto deletes after a month in the spam box.
Yes.
But I do also think that they're filtering stuff in their own servers. Anyway, this is a topic for tech addicts, I reckon.
Yes, it is. So, anyway, yeah. Beware of email, that's all I can say.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, and don't buy any videos of people doing naughty things in front of their computer.
I've given you the link. I'll say it again. Don't bother with email. Let's do something else instead of email.
Yeah.
Slinky link.
And stop. Whenever you see Thomas the Tank, stop it. Right. I got a letter. Well, not a real one. Oh, you bet. But
that was the slinky link. Emails to letters. Oh, I'll go and stand in the corner.
I got a letter. Well, not a real letter, of course. A slinky link. Hello, Ted. You are not alone. This is a letter from Chad Everly from the US of A. You're not alone. I absolutely loathe the spring and summer weather, and I always have done. I can't stand the incessant sunshine. The heat makes me sweat like a pig, and it brings all the idiots out of their holes and onto the streets. Worst of all, summer summons all of the lawn-obsessed lunatics with their ridiculous ride-on mowers, and they're as loud as jet engines. Warm weather sucks, he says. Autumn is clearly the superior season, he goes on to say, followed by winter, although, to be fair, I do abhor shoveling snow too, but that's a story for another day. Elizabeth, my wife, and I continue to love your show, incidentally, so thank you for that. And thank you, Chad Everly, from Michigan, the US of A. So, yeah, it's great to know that our audience is not just in the UK, and that other people do... anyway, talking of heat and his agreement with me, I've been getting serious hay fever lately.
Oh.
I know that the pollen count is high, to be fair. It is. It's advertised as such. But I don't usually suffer with hay fever. Well, not since I've been a teenager. I took some Puritan the other day. I thought, right, I'm going to knock this on the head. So I took some Puritan and I forgot all about it. And then in the afternoon, I fell asleep. And that's really unlike me. And I was out for the count for about an hour and a half. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, I took that Puritan, didn't I? Some doctors, you know, prescribe Puritan for people that can't sleep.
My mother takes it because she's got a skin condition and she takes it regularly. Yeah, and together with various other things, it is quite soporific. And, yeah, my mother's in a constant state of half asleep.
But I did used to try other ones like Pirates and all of that, but they don't seem to do the same job. But I couldn't believe how much this Puritan was. £7.50 for a box of Blumen Puritan. They used to be cheap as chips, but they're certainly not now. I should get it from the doctor, really, in North Wales.
I was going to say, you're an elderly gentleman now. You can get a free prescription if you get it prescribed by the doctor.
Well, it's not to do with being elderly in Wales. It's just anyone gets it. So, as we've said before, North Wales, no, all of Wales, all prescriptions are free for everyone. Anyway, that's a topic much done before. Stop sidetracking me. I was talking about getting serious hay fever, and there you are. I finished my story now, so back to you.
Thank you very much, and thank you also to Chad and Elizabeth for your support. I've been wearing it all week. Boom, boom! But, you know, as far as Chad's whinge about the summer is concerned, as with yours, you know, each to their own. I'm sorry, it's the mantra of the show. Here, I've been doing my accounts. It's that time of year when self-employed have to sit surrounded by receipts and calculators and working it all out. Mind you, no calculators anymore, of course. I just speak to Google and it does the sums for me. I have to say, I was so over the moon delighted. I have serious figures to prove indefatigably the difference between driving diesel and driving electric. 2 years ago, I did my accounts and it was a full year of diesel driving. And I spent on petrol, are you ready for this? £3,200 for the year. This year, last year was a crossover year, so I don't count it because I was driving a bit of both when I got my new car. I've got a new car, by the way. I don't know if I've mentioned it. This year, driving electric, guess what I paid in electricity this year for driving a year with electric? £3,200 with diesel. How much do you think the electric cost me for the year?
£2.47.
£489.
It's incredible, isn't it?
That is, that's like a, what is that, a sixth of the cost of the... Absolutely astonishing. And, of course, that's not mention these days with the new problems of the moment with the high price of petrol. So, you know, I really am sitting pretty in my Polestar. That's all.
Mind you, you haven't this year been driving up and down to Lincoln on a regular basis, producing, directing a play.
There is that, but the Lincoln, I mean, the last time I was driving up and down to Lincoln, I did a panto, but that was several years ago. But I take your point, Ted, indeed. It does depend, you know, I mean, at the moment, as listeners know, I'm basically living at home, taking care of my mother and working sporadically now and again. So, yes, of course, my mileage is less. But, you know, six times difference. I'm not doing a sixth of my mileage, you know. I remember working out, I think, that my diesel was costing me 21 pence a mile in petrol and the electric car is costing me 3 pence a mile in petrol.
So you can raise the middle finger to the Middle East and Iran.
Exactly. Don't bother me, mate. Here, shall we move on to the feedback?
Go on, then. You talked me into it.
And it starts with my good self. I just wanted, as you have just mentioned, the weather has finally changed and we're now having hot weather as opposed to cold. I have got to give another quick shout out to the Alfili temperature controlled butter dish. What I believe you brought onto the show back on the 5th of July... I haven't put the year because I'm an idiot, but it was a long time ago. I think it was 2024 you brought it out and showed 188 as a Ted's top tip. I do remember joking with you that it took my mother a whole year to say, here, should we buy that butter dish that Ted recommended? So a year later, in May 2025, I bought this thing. And I have to say, it's one of the best things I've ever bought. Certainly one of the best recommendations we've ever had on this show. It's an electric butter dish, to just remind viewers. It plugs into the wall and it's got a little control on the bottom. So you can change, you know, slightly harder butter, slightly softer butter to your specificazione. But it's automatic. It doesn't matter whether it's hot or cold. It doesn't matter whether you keep this butter dish in the fridge or the airing cupboard. The butter inside the butter dish is always at the temperature that you want, always at the consistency that you want. And it is marvellous. And we've been using it now for what? Just over 2 years. And I'm very, very happy with it. It works a treat. I recommend it wholeheartedly, which is just as well, because I seem to remember it cost something like 40 quid. It wasn't cheap, but it really has paid for itself multiple times over in the last 2 years.
£45.98.
Oh, there you go. Then
they've got lots of. I just found the link to the page on their website where they're all listed, and they've got some really nice colours. I like the one that looks like a cow.
Oh yes, I remember that one. Yeah, we got the subtle yellow one because we've got a sort of basically yellow coloured kitchen. So. We've got the sort of butter yellow
posh
colour.
You're too posh for novelty things.
See our kitchen. You wouldn't call us posh then. Yeah, back to Elizabeth. I think Elizabeth's still hiding in the wings, isn't she?
Chance Elizabeth. So Elizabeth wrote in as well and said that she'd been using the 10-in-1 aerator faucet tool. And for those that don't know, a faucet is the American word for... tap. Why do Americans call a tap a faucet? I said to our friend Gemma, and she told me that faucet originates from the old French word fosse and Latin fortos, entering English in the 1400s. Tap has an older Germanic root. So now we know. So thank you, Elizabeth, for bringing that to our attention. Did you know that? You speak German, don't you?
I didn't know that. I was wondering whether faucet might be when a barbershop quartet sit down or something. But no, I didn't. It's all news to me. Thank you, Ted. I have learned something today.
Anyway, back to Elizabeth. Our home's water source is a well. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Despite the use of water softener, we still get a mineral build-up in places like the kettle and our faucet aerators. Over time, our kitchen's faucets flow slowed to a trickle, and the same for the bathroom ones. In the internet suggested a soak in vinegar, with many people apparently attaching plastic bags filled with vinegar to their faucets with rubber bands. Oh yeah, I brought that to the show. Do you remember that blue thing? And I It was only about a quid or something on Amazon, and it's like a little balloon.
Yes, I do remember
that. Sure enough, you stick it over the end of your tap and then put some vinegar in it.
Yes.
Right. So let's see what she says about that. This sounded like a messy hassle. So, well, it was. So we purchased this thing from Amazon instead. It works for multiple aerator sizes and interfaces, allowing the user to remove the aerator and clean out any gunk that has built up. Once removed, we simply drop our aerators into a cup of vinegar for an hour or so, tidying them up with a small cleaning brush, and then use the tool to tighten them back into place. After cleaning, the faucets feel like fire hoses. Since they're likely to get stopped up again, eventually, we feel much better knowing this tool is in our toolbox. Thanks anyway for the show. Joining the cheers of Chad, and again, thanks from Michigan, USA. It's lovely to have Elizabeth and Chad in the mix. You're very welcome, and it's great to hear what's going on in your neck of the woods or neck of the planet.
Absolutely. Thank you very much indeed. I've got one. I missed the IKEA. I missed out on the IKEA-centric show we did a couple of shows ago, where it seemed that every second item was an IKEA item. I should have brought then to the show something that I bought my mother from IKEA not too long ago. One of their silly knaves, Tranared. It's an armrest for a sofa or for a lazy boy chair, or for, you know, a big chair that's got a big wide sofa. This is a tiny little table that sits on that arm with little metal pieces that hot supported on either side. I bought it on spec for my mum because I thought she'd like it at 15 quid, and she does, and she gets on very, very well with it. It sits on the side of her, and it's very secure. I mean, she'll put her glass of wine on it, darling, or a cup of water, and there's no worry about it falling over or, you know, toppling over the table. The table is good and solid and does a good job, as most things from IKEA do. And as I say, 15 quid. If you need a small table on the side of your chair where you're sitting because you're too lazy to get up and use the real one, I recommend it.
The only observation I've got of this really is that you really need to have a very square looking arm of your chair.
Oh yes.
They wouldn't, that there's no way that would go onto my sofa or to my armchair. It needs to be a very kind of square, solid, upright arm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's no good for squishy armrests. Yes, it's, as you say, no. It's got to be this good, solid. But, I mean, quite a lot of pieces of furniture do now have that kind of armrest, as what we do. So, yeah.
Fair enough. OK, Gareth Williams is next on the Ugreen Studio Plus headphones. Not too long ago, I was looking for a pair of small on-ear Bluetooth headphones that did the job well, but also has some visual appeal. Various options were discussed on MeWe, and my thanks to all of those people doing that, after which I eventually settled on the Ugreen Studio Plus. I picked these up from Amazon, and they were under 24 quid. I'm so far very pleased with them. They're very comfortable, and I don't notice I'm wearing them. Sound quality meets my needs, although the noise cancelling simply doesn't work because they're on-ear ones and not over-ear ones.
No, I disagree. It's because they're 24 quid. Come on. I mean, I've got the Sony over-ear ones that cost an arm and a leg and are absolutely stupendous. So, I mean, sorry, not to in any way knock the choice. I think they're lovely headphones, but I think that's why they don't work. Carry on, Ted.
I don't know, because some even outer-ear earbuds offer noise cancelling now, and they reckon that they work. I'm not sure that the fact that they're over-ear ones and don't cover the whole of your ear should necessarily, in 2026, exclude ANC working properly. Anyway, it's debatable. I do take both sides of the points here. He says, anyway, he didn't expect it to work with on-ear headphones, but it was not the selling point for me. Good battery life and Bluetooth 6 as well as multi-connectivity all work as advertised, so it smiles all around. USB-C charging is a nice touch, and with heavy use since purchasing, nothing has gone wrong, so durability is looking positive too. Given the success of these cans, I'm looking at their £36.99 Big Brother, the Ugreen Studio Pro.
Ooh.
So, yeah, stepping up. But yes, thank you, Gareth. And they do look nifty and really good price. Personally, I do not like on-ear headphones. I find them really annoying. So whenever I buy headphones, I've got to find the biggest ones. Like you're saying, my Sony XM4s, they cover my ears, and that's great. They're tucked away inside, which suits me. But each to their own, as Ada might say.
Indeed, because I'm quite the opposite. I can't stand stuffing little bits of plastic into my ears and never, ever do. I only ever wear over-ear headphones. And I must say, this upgraded pair that we're linking to certainly looks like the noise cancellation is likely to be a lot better, because they really do encompass the entire ear, warts and all. Ugreen is a good name. I've used Ugreen stuff for a long time, and it tends to be very good. So good find, Gareth. I didn't mean to poo-poo in the middle there about the noise reduction. Do you know, it's funny, Ted, isn't it? I remember a time when we were doing the show and every third item was a pair of headphones. So
yeah.
Times change, don't they? It's nice to have some headphones on the show again after quite a while.
Yeah, well done indeed, Gareth.
Ted's Almagundi.
Have you ever noticed that your biscuits are made badly? It's just a bit of a fun item, really, and I can see why it's happened. But I posted a picture of a custard cream I had into the MeWe group, and it's just a quirk of manufacturing whereby instead of the second part of the sandwich, the bottom, which should be downward facing, they, for some reason, it's turned round in manufacturing and it's facing upwards. And it's just a bit amusing, really. But I wonder how common that is. I don't remember seeing one before myself, not recently anyway. But David Proudlock jumped in when I posted this and showed a photograph of one of his Oreos doing the same thing. So perhaps it is more common than we think.
The aesthetics of biscuits. I'm afraid I don't eat enough biscuits to know. I wish I did, but I'm a good boy and I'm trying not to eat too much sweet stuff. So I only eat the occasional biscuit. But I have once or twice in my life, I have come across this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the biscuit tastes exactly the same, but it's fun to point out the aesthetics indeed.
Steve Litchfield said I should hang on to it and it'll be a collector's item.
Sell it on eBay. Yeah, talking of eBay. No, it wasn't eBay. It was Amazon. You brought something onto the show, the last show. You brought the We Love Retro Nostalgic Art page. Do you remember all sorts of... Specifically mugs, and then I think there were various other things, tins and stuff, all with a retro theme.
And fridge magnets.
Fridge magnets with images and logos of your days of yore. Very nostalgic and great fun. And literally, as you were talking about it on the show, I popped a VW Get Lost mug into my Amazon basket. The reason being, I wanted to get that for, I just mentioned earlier in the show, Paul, my sister's other half, the wonderful whiz who does my website and emails for me. We just had a lot of to-ing and throwing and back and forthing over my Santa website, my santabell.co.uk. There's a plug. And so he's very keen on the old VW camper vans. And so I found one that says Get Lost, and I thought that's what he'll think every time I contact him about the website. So that's the perfect one. So I bought it, and I just wanted to say it arrived quickly and in good condition. And not only that, very well packed, which is good, because I've got to get it to Paul in Cyprus somehow. So I'm very glad it's in a good sturdy box. Of course, I opened it up and had a quick peek, and it's really lovely mug, beautifully made, very good condition, nice aesthetic, nice, good. Heft. There's a heft to it that makes you think, yes, this is a proper product. So a very good call, Ted, for which I thank you. And I'm sure Paul will too when I finally get this mug to Cyprus.
Yeah, you might remember my brother-in-law wanted one for his birthday, and he got the Norton one. It's something to do with motorbiking anyway.
Yes.
And so he said similar things, yeah, as covered, as you say, on the show previously.
Excellent.
So I'm glad. I should have to get myself one, I think. Right, the nonsense of clock changing is next.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that China have got it right. Instead of changing their poxy clocks all over the place twice a year, like the rest of everyone else seems to do, they just have a single time zone. So China geographically spans five time zones, from plus 5 to plus 9, yet officially they just follow the one stuck in the middle there, known as Beijing time. The single time zone was adopted in 1949 after the establishment of the People's Republic of China. With around 94% of China's population living in the east of the country, the difference between the correct time and Beijing time isn't that noticeable for the majority. And I'll put a link to an article I discovered about time zone quirks around the world, which is an interesting little read for anyone that is wanting something to have a look at when they've got their copy in their hand. But yeah, I that's a great idea, I think. You know, forget about this stupid clock changing, one time zone and stick with it ever, forever, gone.
Yeah, it's a much it's a much debated topic. I mean, you know, it's all to do with farmers complaining, oh yes, but we have to go to work in the dark, and or well, no, just go to work an hour later then, when you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think in this country we try to change the world to fit the clock, whereas we change the clock to fit the world. Sorry, whereas China are simply changing the world to fit the clock and just living with it. And if it's getting dark at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock, who cares? You can still do the same things that
absolutely.
You did. If you end up going to bed,
agree.
Yeah, and if you end up going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, well, then that's fine. That's just what you do. Yeah, I kind of agree.
Aidan, we agree.
We agree. Good. We need a fanfare. We need a jingle for the moments when we actually agreed. And da-da-da-da-da-da. Here, you'll agree with this too. I inadvertently tricked Amazon the other week. It's absolutely unintentional. There was no malice. I quite innocently did this. I went onto Amazon and bought some vitamin tablets. And as far as I remember, the price was something like £20 something or other. But if you take out their, you know, repeat prescription every second month or whatever you choose, it's £18 for the product. And I never do that because I don't want to get stuck in some sort of loop of having to pay for something I don't want repeatedly. So I chose the £20 option, ordered it. That was done. After I placed the order, I realised I'd been a complete wally and I'd clicked the wrong button. And I had, in fact, selected the cheaper price for the subscription. So I panicked. I said, Gemini, what should I do? And Gemini said, well, just go on and cancel the prescription. So I went on and I cancelled the prescription. And I thought, oh, well, I'll have to pay another couple of quid now. But no. A day or two later, the vitamins arrived at £18. And since that point, there has been no adjustment to what I paid. So there's your trick, folks. Take out a subscription and pay for the subscription price and then cancel the subscription. And at least in my case, the price didn't change accordingly.
Yeah, that does work. Absolutely. the only negative side that used to be the case, and I don't know if it still is because I haven't tested it lately, is that when you cancel a subscription like you have, it counts as a return. So if you're a serial returner of stuff, that'll be added up against your little black mark.
That's what I thought
mark.
To say, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. I mean, I am a serial returner. However, I'm also a serial purchaser. So I'm sure they have they keep it in balance. Yes, I'm sure that if you every second week purchase something and cancel the subscription, they'd quickly be on to you. Yeah. But once in a blue moon, you might get away with it.
Indeed.
Still using and still using.
I'm still using my Victorinox Swiss card, which I brought to show 53 in March 2018, 8 years ago.
Woo.
And it's still working well. It's a little credit card thingy that you put in your wallet, or in my case, in my wallet. And it's got 10 functions. The one that I use the most is the little pair of scissors, which are really, really tiny. But just to whip out and do your nails or whatever, or if you need to just cut something quickly, whip it out from your wallet and it's there. It's still there, tucked away in my wallet. I don't often use it, to be honest, but it's there and it's really nice and it's really attractive. And it's got all sorts of, it's got 10 things in it, toothpicks and tweezers and nail files and all sorts of things. But I cannot believe that they're now selling those for 35 quid. I think when I bought mine, it was about 12 quid. 35 quid. Wow.
Ironically, I happen to have just found the other day in my studio a very similar product that Steve Litchfield brought onto the show, I believe, which is a flat, solid, sturdy piece of metal that's cut at all sorts of different ways. Again, credit card size, but I'm reading on here bottle opener, can opener, screwdriver, cell phone stand, box opener, screwdriver. I've never used it once. Thanks, Steve. But I obviously got excited and bought it when we had it on the show. Sounds like a similar thing, but it sounds like your Vitrionox one is a lot better because it's actually got functioning things within it, whereas this is simply a piece of cut-out metal. But same sort of idea, except that mine would fit in the wallet a lot better than yours must in yours, because I'm sure there must be at least a few millimetres of thickness to yours.
Yeah, I suppose so. But my wallet is a pouch. I don't really have a traditional wallet. I have a little... It's just basically a bag. And it's a very small bag, but it's credit card size.
Right.
And that little card sits in there quite nicely. Okay. No problem at all.
So yours is thicker than mine. Ooh, missus, we better tell the man sending the emails at the top of the show. Here, I've got a really fun one. My still using is the convex flexible traffic mirror. Now, you may remember, dear listener, back on the 5th of May 2025, show 225, I brought this...
Excuse me. Yes. This is not a year old. It's not the 5th of May 2026 yet. You're banned from bringing that. It's less than
because
a year
I'm
old.
What? 4 days early. Well, I'm so sorry. We are not at home to Mr. Pedantic. No, mind you, you are right. I mean, a rule's a rule. So, with apologies, 4 days... Please... Listen, everybody, please stop listening and start again on the 5th of May. Right.
Okay. Pause your playback.
It's a reversing mirror. And I remember saying at the time, this thing was £13. It's going to last about 10 minutes, but I'm putting it up at the top of my drive because we have a steep driveway and it's a little bit dangerous when I drive up with my car. I've got a new car, by the way, because I can't see to the right who's coming down the pavement. I don't want to kill pedestrians on my way out. So I put this mirror up, which gives me an excellent view of the pavement to the right. But being 13 quid and made of flimsy plastic, I really totally thought it's going to last a week or two, and as long as the prince, you know, this is a proof of concept, and if it works fine, I'll spend a bit more money and get a proper one. No, a year later, or forgive me, 361 days later, it's still working. It's up there. It's doing fine. It hasn't weathered. It hasn't fallen down. It hasn't been vandalized. I'm really astonished. This thing is still up there, still doing a good job. Just the other day, I came whizzing up the drive and there was a poor woman walking and I managed to stamp on the brakes and not run her down. Do you know what? Sometimes you actually do get what you don't pay for. Because I'm always saying on this show, you get what you pay for. But in this case, I got what I didn't pay for. I paid 13 quid for a traffic mirror that's lasted a year and seems to be going strong. So there you go.
Not quite a year.
Shut your face. There we go.
Actually, on the 4th of May, it could fall off and break.
Yes, probably will now, yes.
In fact, I might pop round and do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know where you live.
I remember you bringing this to the show and expressing those fears. So it's great, isn't it? Great when you find something that
actually works,
convinces you otherwise. Yeah. So well done to you. Very
it's like
nice.
Whatever works with a question mark.
Yeah. Right. Gareth Williams is next, and he's bought the.
Go on.
I'm going to say. Tuoto. I think the Z is silent. Z Tuoto. Double shoulder camera strap harness. I picked this up as I thought it would add to my ability to get a range of shots on the go. And for the price of £23.50, I couldn't really lose. Apart from it being a source of hilarity, which is lost on me to my wife, I was right. Amazon tells me that it's been over 3 years since I picked this up, and it has served me well throughout that time, so definitely a still using. It's cool, it has carried a range of cameras from smaller APS-Cs to bulkier full frame and not missed a beat. This adjustability makes for easy access. The adjustability. It has endured very well, so good quality and the comfort being maintained throughout. It's lightweight, versatile, and a practical piece of kit that I would buy again if I needed to. Always a good mark in the sand. Would you buy it again if it suddenly got lost?
Yes, and indeed.
Gareth says, yes, indeed, he would. But I guess that you've got a good camera. I suppose you've got these sorts of things, have you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, just in case listeners are wondering, this is it's a harness you wear around your neck, and it's got it's got hanging bits on either side which hold on a camera. So they reliably and safely hold a camera on your left and a camera on your right, and you can easily access either. The problem is, you have to own two cameras. Yes, I'm very lucky. I have a Nikon D800 camera, which I've had for some years now. I'm very happy with it. But only the one. So, I mean, of course, there's no point in owning something like this unless you have got a couple of cameras. But I suppose if you have, then yeah. And I'm sorry, I am with Gareth's wife. I can see there is a hilarity to it. It does look a bit like a sort of overkill. but no, on the other hand, I think it's a good piece of kit. And if you do need quick access to two cameras, then why not?
Looks like a Steve Litchfield special. I'm sure you could use it with one camera, couldn't you? Just don't use the other side.
Yes, but then you could simply have a camera strap round your shoulder. It would be a lot easier and cheaper, and you wouldn't look so silly, and the wife wouldn't have anything to laugh about.
Mind you, you'd have to be careful walking through doorways, I reckon, if you've got these two cameras one each side.
Break both your cameras at once. No, don't. Ouch. Jingle.
I'm going to bring to the show handcraft blends eucalyptus essential oil.
Oh, love. Now,
the reason is because I've over the years, since time immemorial, I've been buying Olbus oil in order to keep my sinuses clear. And it's got stupidly expensive Olbus oil. Mm-hmm. So £7 for a 30ml bottle. So I threw the subject at Gemma, and I said, right, I'm fed up with paying this stupid price for Olbus oil. Surely someone else is doing the same thing cheaper. And sure enough, she found this stuff. So it's 118 mils for £8.49. So £1.50 more, but you get almost four times as much as the 30ml bottle of Olbus oil. And as far as I can tell so far, it does exactly the same job. Now, the ingredients in Olbus oil are different. If you look through what's in it, there are differences. But I think that the main ingredients that keeps the sinuses clear are the eucalyptus ones.
Yes,
and that just does the job. It just works perfectly well. Now, the way that I use it, which is probably not very advisable for most people, is that I dribble it onto the front of my T-shirt around my sternum. And I find that works really well for me. The reason I'm hesitating to recommend that is because if you're not careful, it can stain your clothing. Now, I found with the colour of clothing, mostly black that I wear, it doesn't do that. But yeah, your mileage may vary on that. So you might want to do the traditional thing of putting it on a handkerchief or tissue, or shoving it into boiling water and putting your face over it in the traditional way.
You could wear a bib and then just pour a little bit into the catchment
at the
bottom. It'd look a bit silly. Gareth's wife would get a good laugh if you're wearing a bib. But could you not just get... I mean, here's a serious question. Could you not just put eucalyptus plants in your house? Would that not have a similar effect?
I don't know. Is that a thing? Do you reckon?
Well, if you,
I'd happily do that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. I'm riffing here, as the kids say.
I didn't even know eucalyptus was a plant.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Ask Chris
Kelly.
Is it
a plant that would grow in the UK indoors?
Good question. You can ask your friend Gemma. Now, what? Gemma? It's Gemini, and it is not a she. It is a machine. Do you know what? I've got a friend. I don't think I've said this before. I've got a friend who always thanks the AI when she's finished. And I said to her, it's a machine. And she said to me, yes, I know it's a machine. But when they take over, I'm going to be among the people that they're going to like, because I always used to say thank you. Gemma. Yeah, I tell you what I've
actually
bought.
I tell you what's interesting and ironic about that is that Google have just released a new branch of Gemini, and the name is Gemma. So they've actually got a product now called Gemma. They nicked my name.
Well, we have a male voice, so what's that? Jem? Jem? Jed? Jeffrey? Jeffrey, that just sounds wrong. Here, listen, I tell you what, I'm bringing to Cheapest Chips for £3.39, reflective tape. I had reason I won't bore you with to change the cable that charges my car. The cable now comes from above down to the car as opposed to coming from below up to the car, which means there's a cable sort of hanging from top to bottom across the pathway where the car is. And I was a little concerned that somebody, particularly my mother, might not see it in darker weather and walk into it. So I decided to put some sort of glow tape along the cable length so that it's clear that there is a cable hanging here, don't walk here. And I jumped onto our favourite shop and I found a roll of reflective tape for £3.39, and it's perfect. And I've only, and you know, as always happens with these things, I've used about a metre of it, and this thing is 10 metres long, so I've got 9 left if anybody wants any. on Amazon, the picture is illustrating it as on a bike, so you know there's all, it's regular neon yellow day glow tape, and it works a treat. I put little bits of it along the length of the cable as I wanted, and it's done its job, and now I've got 9 meters of cable in store tape in store should I need it again, but a good price. It's now even cheaper, it's now £3.52, so grab it quick.
Did you hear that?
What?
A train going past.
I did not.
Just as it got outside my premises, it blared its stupid hooter as loud as it possibly could. Bastard. Right.
So were you listening to a word I said, or were you more interested in your childhood love of steam trains?
It was only at the very tail end when it came past. It's interesting that you didn't hear it, though, because that is about... If we're going to get technical for a minute, that's about a Microsoft Teams noise gating, and it worked really well. However, on my recording on Audacity, it should come out, I reckon. Anyway, reflective tape. I think this is great, but I do wonder how they're doing the reflectivity when all this what's-it paint has been banned for years and they're not allowed to use it because people get cancer from it. What's it called, that stuff?
You'd need Steve Litchfield to explain it to you, but this is nothing to do with luminosity and paint holding the colour, and then you switch the light off and it glows in the dark, luminous.
Right.
No, this is to do with reflecting light in a certain way. If you shine a light at it, it picks up the light and flies it back at you in a certain way.
So if you don't shine a light on it, nothing happens?
No, in the pitch dark, it's as dark as anything else, yeah.
Okay. A black cat in a coal cellar at night.
Right, listen, now I've just got to introduce this. This is what I thought you brought onto the show before. So if, ladies and gentlemen, you think Ted's gone mad and he's repeating himself, well, no, we've all gone mad because we just can't remember whether he did it or not. Carry on.
I really don't think I did, you know. And I'm very good at putting the show notes together, and it's not there. Anyway, right, my dad has been told that he's got to put... Perhaps I did do this. My dad has been told that he's got to put... Vaseline on the top of his head because he's had this sunburn, skin cancer stuff. And we've dealt with that. I spoke about that on the show before. But the point is that they told us to go and get some Vaseline. And then I started to compare the Vaseline price with this stuff that Gemma put me onto, Nuage Petroleum Jelly. And it looked exactly the same to me. And this whacking great big pot of it is £1. Yes, £1 delivered with Amazon Prime. And in Tesco and Sainsbury's, the same amount of Vaseline is like 4 times the price. I dread to think how much it is in Boots. Anyway, sure enough, it arrived and it even looks like it's a complete rip-off of Vaseline. And if you look at what's in it, it's exactly the same. It's basically petroleum jelly. They're the same thing. And it's like 4 times the price if you buy the brand name Vaseline. Nuage Petroleum Jelly. If you need any Vaseline, don't buy Vaseline.
Brilliant. And as brilliant as it was when you said the same thing on the last show.
I want one of those.
I want a retro scooter. The only reason I'm interested in this really is because I've got a scooter, a moped.
Yes.
And this reminds me of it. And it looks quite... Oh, the page is gone. Page not found. Where's that?
You'll have to tell us in words what it was then. What is it? It's not a real scooter, not a full-size scooter.
Well, no, it's a little... actually, it's really small. It's a little Meccano-looking... it's not Meccano, because they'd have to pay them for the name, I suppose, but it looks very much like Meccano bits and pieces. But actually, it's really small. 14 centimetres by 10 centimetres by 5 centimetres. So 14 centimetres... I mean, you'd need to have really... little fingers. I suppose it's for kids to do, isn't it, with small hands. But putting it together would be quite tricky, I think, if you've got adult big hands, especially with sausage fingers like me. But anyway, they have lots of other vehicles as well. It's not just this scooter.
Yeah.
And they just all look like fun. And my assistant has found the right page. He's finding it at the moment. we will have the link.
But
for you.
What I've managed to find, it's no longer available on our favourite website. But I have found the website that has it. So at least Ted can look at it while he's telling us about it. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. And it just looks like quite good fun. And it comes in a tin, and it's only £12. And so I thought, yeah, that looks a lot of fun, particularly for a stocking filler. You know, for small, I suppose, it says recommended 8 years old and up. So I suppose you can't give it to a kid that's too small. But I'd like one of those just sat on my mantelpiece. Some other bugger can put it together.
And you get the tin. Do you know, I'm noticing you have a bit of a tin fetish, don't you, Ted? Comes in a nice tin. And yes, I concur. I mean, I remember Meccano very, very lovingly. And so, yes, long may this live. Is Meccano itself still made and available, or has that gone the way of the dodo?
Yeah. No, I think it is. Yeah.
That is a good thing.
I think so, indeed. And the other thing I had for I Want One of Those is something that I can't get yet because they haven't released it, or at least not in the UK. The Dyson have just made this handheld fan, which sounds as though it's quite amazing. 65,000 revs per minute to blow air on you. Now, the usual caveat applies, you know, blowing air from behind a fan into your face is just going to blow hot air into your face, technically. But anyway, laying that aside, if you go to the website and look at what's going on here, they show it, you know, they put it over a thing of boiling water and they show it moving, how fast the stuff moves. I'm up for this and I'm going to be first in the queue. Apparently it's going to be £79 and it'll be released in May or June in the UK. So I'm definitely going to get one. I really fancy it. And I know I've already got a handheld fan, but I've got a fetish. It's like everything else in life. It's what you fancy. I want one of those.
Well, I can't argue with that, but I'm still balking at £79 for this thing. But no, as you say, if it's something you're going to enjoy owning, then please yourself.
Well, if it doesn't, it's got to make me cool. You see, let's save that for when the hot weather's really here, shall we?
Whatever worked.
Right, you can go first. This is show 91, September 2019. Your turn.
I'm going to do a Ted Salmon and put two things in when I'm only supposed to put one, because they're quick. I spotted two things in this show that rang a quick bell with me. The first was the 800 lumens head torch, which I've mentioned several times on the show, so I'll keep it quick. It's something Steve Litchfield brought to the show. £6, that's the thing I've always remembered. It's the most extraordinarily brilliant, cheap and cheerful head torch. Did a fantastic job for £6. I was just astonished by this thing, and it put me onto head torches. And as I've said on the show before, I've now got a very nice, somewhat more expensive head torch, which I'm very, very happy with. I've talked about it on the show before. I won't again. But this was great. This was what started it off. And Steve, a great find at £6. The second thing I want to bring in is Stanley knife. It's as simple as that. I don't know whether it was me what brought this to the show. Excuse me. It probably was. It's selling at £3.96 now, and it's nothing but a Stanley knife, you know, the original blade. You've got all these fancy cutting knives and this, that and the other these days. But I remember, you know, inheriting the idea of Stanley and inheriting a Stanley from my father, who probably got one from his father. And it's just, you know, it's the cutting blade and the tool to keep in your garage if you need to quickly razor something. And yeah, so that was worth a mention as well. That was my two.
I used to be really frightened of Stanley knives.
Me too.
I hate handling them because the blades are so stupidly sharp.
Yes.
That you've only got to touch it and it's through your skin. I used to be really frightened of touching the things.
There's a later one I got that's a retractable that actually had a little slider so you could actually retract the blade, which was a lot safer than the original one. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. The late Judge Barton, I was focusing in on here, who brought to the show a Rolson Precision Screwdriver set, which actually, I mean, we've done loads of these on the show. This one actually looks quite nifty and neat, and it's got loads of little screwdrivers on it, and it's got a lapel pocket.
Ah, this is the one that looks like a pen, and all the little heads are sitting inside it. Yeah. Yes, okay.
Exactly. So that's a nice little one. But I did also, while I was researching this, I did find this other one called the Mudder. The Mudder. And this one looks equally nifty. And also, it's got a pen clip thingy for your pocket. And all the things are inside it. And yeah, it looks very. It looks like a slightly modern version of Ian's one, which he brought to the show. But either will do. And that's what I remember from that show in 2019.
Wunderbar.
Wasting water and electricity. Right. I'm going to have a go at my dad now. however much water, hot water, my dad needs, he always boils a kettle full anyway. Even though he's a frugal chap normally, and on top of which he pays for his metered water in his house, when he's boiling a kettle, he just puts it up to the maximum mark all the time. So it either gets chucked away or goes cold, and then he uses stale water tomorrow or whatever, and then tops it up to the maximum mark, even though he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Even for one small cup of tea. And I've worked in the care industry, as you know, and I've worked with older people, and it always seems to be to me, people of his generation. And I can't quite work out why, but it always seems to be people who are older that do this. And what they do also, I've noticed, is that when they finish using the kettle, they fill it up again and put it in place, ready for it to be used the next time. So the water that's in it, whenever you go to the kettle, is stale and yesterday's water, possibly.
I remember doing that. I remember somehow getting into that habit as a child. I was a teenager that I used to do that. Yes.
Yeah, and I've noticed this with older people. They think that it's polite, I think, to ready it for the next person, not that actually it's going to make the water.
I tell you why I did it. I know why I did it. I did it because I was afeard that somebody would boil the kettle and there'd be no water in and it would boil dry. So I always used to put water in as a safety feature because I'm so paranoid.
but this whole wasting water and electricity thing also goes through to the dishwasher because my dad will, and I've said this to him, so I'm not talking behind his back. He puts the dishwasher on when it's a quarter full.
Oh no!
And I say to him, Dad, you're killing the planet here. Well, you don't need to put it on when it's a quarter full. I know there's only you in the house now, so it takes a long time to fill up. But you've got cupboards full of crockery and cutlery.
Yes.
But it seems to be a thing about tidying up and putting things in their place and everything. As soon as he can get all the crockery and cutlery back in the cupboards and the dishwasher empty, that's him happy. He's not happy with it being half full or quarter full and sitting there, and it plays on his mind that there's... anyway, I just don't get this whole wasting water and electricity.
Yeah, Ahmed Beebus came into the conversation and said people don't realise how power-hungry kettles can be, especially if they're drinking multiple cups of tea per day and using more water than they need per boiling cycle, as you just explained. Mm. So, yes, it all adds up, he says. Likewise, I only boil what I need, but I drink 5 cups of coffee per day, so I'm probably not doing nothing to save the planet. Yeah.
Chris Clayton also said, I pour the water into my cup and then pour that water into the kettle and boil the perfect amount for my drink. Probably because it's quicker, he says. But yes, that's very sensible, Chris. Well done.
Now, I totally concur. I don't for a second condone wasting water. I don't condone waste of any kind. So I totally agree with this post. However, I did want to play devil's advocate. So I asked Gemini for a cost estimate. Yeah. And Gemini told me that the average cost of boiling half a litre of water, 500 milliliter, in the UK during the daytime is 2p. So that's not just, you know, as I say, we should be taking great care of waste, but 2p for half a litre, it's not really a bank breaker, is it?
That's the kind of argument my mum used to have, my late mum used to have when she was peeling vegetables, because she would just lob off great big bits of potato and use a knife. And I said to mum, why don't you use a potato peeler? That's so... You're chucking away loads of the vegetable. But she said, well, there was a time when I could... when I would have done that, but nowadays I can afford... You know, we're not hard up for money. I can afford to not have to bother.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's like that mentality. It's like, you know, every little helps. Look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves and all that. So even though... Jemima, that's her new name. Google of Nick Gemma from me. I'm going with Jemima now.
Okay.
Even though Jemima says it's 2p, well, 2p over a year every time is a lot, isn't it?
How much is a pint of beer, roughly?
It depends where you live. Someone was telling me the other day they paid £10 for a pint in London, but in the north of England, you can it's like between £3 and £4.
So that means you could, for one pint of beer, you could boil 200 kettles. How long is it going to take even Ahmed Beebers to boil 200 kettles? Again, I'm not condoning it. I'm just making the point because I want to be difficult. Shall we move on? I suppose the fork's out of the question, as we used to say as kids and giggle a lot. Well, I suppose the fork is out of the question, is it? I'm back in the pub. My room 101... I'm back in the pub. I'm back in the restaurant. You don't get forks with pudding anymore. What happened? I mean, my whole childhood and most of my adult life, if you go into any kind of restaurant, I'm talking upper class and the greasy spoons. You go into a restaurant or pub or anywhere and you order a dessert, you get a spoon and a fork. That was normal for decades. All of a sudden, you only get a spoon. And now, as you know, I go out with my mother occasionally, and we quite often eat at a pub or a restaurant, and I am forever having to say, could we have a fork, please, for my mother. What's happened? Do you have any idea? I mean, I know you don't eat out a lot, Ted, but, I mean, have you ever heard of this, or do you have an experience of this? It's just that for some reason that I simply do not know, forks have disappeared from the pudding table.
The last time I was eating in pubs, you tended to get... a knife and a fork and a spoon wrapped in a tissue paper.
Yeah.
And they would just put it down on the table. In the old days, you're quite right, the table would be laid with, at the top of your plate, you'd have a left-facing spoon and underneath it a right-facing fork.
Yeah.
And those two things would be for your pudding, whatever you decided to have. But yes, I guess that people are saving on washing up. They concluded that people don't use them. It's like a lot of things, isn't it? It's a bit like Samsung taking away the S Pen from their phones. We conclude that people don't use it, so we're taking it away. So yeah, don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. Go on.
I'm more interested to explore what you said at the top of this item, which is, I suppose a fork's out of the question, and as if it was some famous saying.
It means f***. I suppose a f***'s out of the question. You used to say it to young ladies and giggle a lot.
Oh, right. I see the connection there. Sorry. Right.
Oh, let's move on. Right.
Let's move on to Ed House, who has got a real Room 101 personal one, which will be each to their own with knobs on. He says that he bought some Captain Morgan's dark rum to try something different rather than the Kraken or Kraken or Dead Man's Fingers that is particularly unpleasant, the Captain Morgan's dark rum, he means. Neat. It is merely less pleasant than the other dark rums I've tried, but in Coke it seems to magnify the chemically metallic taste to an overpowering degree. Not smooth at all, if you ask me. This bottle is going to last an awful long time, he says. So he detests Captain Morgan's dark rum. But yes, I know what you're going to say. The next person will say, oh, I love that one.
Yes, I'm sorry. I mean, I really, that is all I can say. I think it's like when we talk about music and say, this is a terrible song, and another person says, oh, it's my favourite. It's entirely down to personal taste. I'm sorry, that's all I can say.
And that's okay, because people can put their personal peccadilloes in.
Indeed, indeed. And now the personal unpick. What's the opposite of the picadillo? I've got it. My goodness. Google, we're back again. There's been an update in the house. Genevieve is now available on all our home speakers. All of a sudden, I got a notification that that Gemini is now available on the home. So I set it up immediately, and there's, you know, lots of fun and new features. I want to give Google a gold star for the following reason. It popped up saying you have now signed up to this to the free home premium. You've signed up to a month's trial of home premium, to which my immediate thought was, I don't want a month's trial of home premium. I don't want to be paying for it in the future. I don't need it now. Gemini, what do I do? And Gemini came back and said, don't worry, you're not paying for this month's trial. And moreover, when the month is up, you are not automatically suddenly paying for it month by month. Yeah. The month's trial is something that is offered, and at the end of the month, it disappears. So it's an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out.
Brilliant.
And I was very impressed because, you know, I've never come across this before, because as we know, every company under the sun plays this trick of giving you a trial and then automatically opting you in. And unless you remember and cancel it, you end up paying every month forever. So really a big gold star for Google for giving you the month's trial and yet at the end of that month not committing you to paying anything. Good for Google.
Most of the ones that you just described also insist if you get the trial, you've got to give them your bank details first.
Yes.
Or your card details first, or otherwise you can't get the trial. So,
yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
All right.
Yes.
Mind you, to be fair,
Google already knows.
Yes, right, gold star for Google. Hurrah! That's about it, I think. We're up to the hour. And hopefully we'll be back in 3 weeks' time with another show. Whateverworks.works is our website. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSandman.com is where you'll find me and all the links to all of our MeWe groups and all of our other audio podcasts. So do jump in and have some fun and join the community. But yes, we'll be back soon and hopefully you'll see us in the MeWe group and tell us whatever works in your lives. So last word to you, as always, young Aidan.
Have fun. Ask Geneva, I suppose, the fork's out of the question and see what she says. Have a good time, everybody.
Pick up on that.
see you soon.
What a buffoon. What a maroon. Yes, okay. So one last thing to say, as always, don't forget,
whatever works.